Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's Annual 2018 Results Conference Call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded March 7th, 2019. With us on the line today are Mr. Keefet Rustik Aminoach, President and CEO, and Mr. Omer Ziv, First EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the bank's website, www.bankleumi.co.il, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP of Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call of Bank Leumi's financial statements for 2018. We're Keefet Rustik Aminoach, President and CEO, and Omer Ziv, First EVP and CFO, will be presenting the strategy, developments, and major takeaways from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleagues, Shlomo Goldfarb, Chief Accountant, and Dr. Gil Bufman, Chief Economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the TASE website as well. I'll now turn the call over to Keefet.
Thank you, Daphna. We are proud to present Leumi's annual financial statements for 2018. 2018 was another very strong year for Leumi, with excellent financial results. During 2018, Leumi did not only continue to improve returns from core banking activities, but also maintained its robust capital adequacy and its well-known cautious risk management. Together with this, we continued our journey of preparing the bank for future opportunities and challenges. This was the year in which Leumi was recognized by the capital markets in Israel as the clear leader of banking. We became the highest valued bank market cap-wise, with the highest volume of trading on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange. This was also a year in which our dividend policy and buyback plan resulted in a very high capital return to our shareholders. I will now hand over to Omer, who will present our financial results. When Omer is done, I will share with you my strategic view in the changing world of banking.
Thank you, Keefet. Good afternoon, all. I am pleased to present Leumi's 2018 results. With your permission, I would like to start with slide number three, which reflects the strong results that Keefet has just mentioned. Once again, as we did last year, we have been able to increase our income and decrease our expenses. This is not a minor achievement. As a result, the cost-income ratio dropped from 66.1% in 2016 to 60.6% in 2018. This leads me to the next slide. In this slide, we present the cost-income ratio after neutralizing one-time effects, such as the insurance refund in 2016 and the profit from selling a major branch in the fourth quarter of 2017. The lower charts present the same figures as shown in the previous slide, and the upper charts present the figures after neutralizing one-time effects, as reported in the financial statement. We can see from the neutralized figures that the improvement in the cost-income ratio is even higher than those in the bottom chart. The cost-income ratio decreased from almost 70% in 2016 to nearly 60% in 2018. As a result, the ROE from core business increased from 8.4% in 2016 to 9.5% in 2018. These strong results were achieved even in light of our very conservative approach to risk and our high capital adequacy. Now, I would like to concentrate on the 2018 results, so let's move on to slide number five. In 2018, the net interest income grew by more than 10% compared to the previous year. This growth was driven by an increase in the credit portfolio, by a rise in margins, and by the redemption of bonds. The increase was also affected by the CPI, by around 200 million shekels. This increase was offset by a rise in the credit loss expenses, which were very low last year as a result of material collections of significant debt. The interest income net of expenses for loan losses grew by 6.3% compared to last year. The non-interest finance income declined by 237 million shekels compared to last year. In 2018, Leumi Partners, our investment arm, recorded a pre-tax profit of 121 million shekels from the sale of Adgold and a pre-tax profit of 96 million shekels from the sale of Direct Finance. These profits were partially offset by provisions for write-offs in Leumi Partners. Having said that, we see a drop in the non-interest finance income. This is attributed to the appreciation in the shekel in 2018 compared to last year when there was an appreciation in the shekel, and due to the effects of derivatives. The total finance income increased by 6.7% compared to last year. Commissions and other income decreased by 234 million shekels, mainly as a result of selling a major branch in the fourth quarter of 2017. Operating and other expenses went down by nearly 18 million shekels compared to 2017, 70% of which stems from a drop in salary expenses. The bottom line is that the bank has continued to present strong results while improving the net income and improving the EPS, which reached 2.15 shekels per share. With regard to Q4 results, they were lower by 166 million shekels than the Q4 results last year. As I mentioned earlier, this decrease is mainly attributed to the sale of a major branch in the fourth quarter last year. Let's move on to slide 6. On this slide, we present the main financial parameters for the last 3 years. The strong results are reflected in almost every parameter. There is a consistent improvement year after year in the ROE, net interest margin, cost income ratio, leverage ratio, along with a strong liquidity ratio. As for credit loss expenses, I will elaborate on it later on in the presentation. Let's go to slide number 7. Net interest income for 2018 increased to 8.9 billion shekels, 10.5% up from last year. The net interest margin for 2018 reached 2.19%, and for the fourth quarter, it increased even further, reaching 2.24%. The increase in NIM was positively affected by the 1.2% CPI for 2018 compared to 0.3% last year. In the fourth quarter, the CPI was at the same level as it was last year, 0.1%. Let's move on to slide number 8. The credit loss expense ratio increased in 2018, reaching 0.19%. The credit loss expense ratio for the fourth quarter was 0.29%. The increase in the credit loss expenses stemmed from a decrease in collections of material debt which were written off years ago, and from Leumi Card and Bank Leumi USA. Without Leumi Card, which we sold to Werber Pincus, the credit loss expense ratio for 2018 was 0.15%. In the bank itself, the credit loss expense ratio in 2018 was only 0.12%, and for the fourth quarter, 0.17%. Before continuing, I would like to bring your attention to the right side of the slide. The NPL ratio has continued to drop consistently and decreased to 0.08%. 0.89% in 2018. With regard to the problem debt, they have continued to decrease, dropping to 6.5 billion shekels in 2018. It is also clear that not only have the problem debt declined, but the mix of debt improved significantly as well. Slide 9 shows a snapshot of our diverse commission revenue. The total fees and commissions in 2018 increased by 1.7% compared to last year. This increase was driven primarily by an increase in the credit card commissions, mainly due to an increase in activity. I'm moving on to slide 10. As I pointed out at the beginning of the presentation, even though the income in 2018 continued to increase, we have successfully continued to decrease our expenses. Total expenses in 2018 dropped by nearly 1% compared to last year, reflecting a decline in both salary and operating expenses. In the fourth quarter, the total expenses dropped by 6.5% compared to the corresponding period last year. With regard to our workforce, the downward trend in employees' numbers has continued. This is clearly illustrated by the fact that our workforce has dropped by 17% in the last 5 years. Let's turn to slide number 11. In 2018, our credit portfolio increased by 4.2% compared to the previous year. In line with our strategy, we continue to grow primarily in the middle market, in mortgages, and in corporate, mainly in real estate. We will continue to grow very selectively and maintain the high quality of our credit portfolio. Turning to slide number 12. At the end of December 2018, the loan-to-deposit ratio reached 77%, reflecting our strong liquidity ratio. The pie chart on the right shows the diversity of our deposits. 40% of our deposits were from the retail business. Let's continue to slide 13. Leumi's equity continued to increase in 2018 and reached 35.3 billion shekels, an increase of 37% from 2014. The Tier 1 adequacy ratio at the end of 2018 is nearly 11.1%, much above Leumi's target of 10.5%. This leads me to the next slide. As announced this morning, the Board of Directors updated the dividend policy up to 50% each quarter. Having said that, only last Sunday did the Bank of Israel publish a new directive which allows banks in Israel to implement a buyback plan. Taking the new directive into consideration, as well as the excess capital which is expected to derive from the sale of Lomicard, the Board of Directors decided to maintain the 40% dividend distribution for the fourth quarter of 275 million shekels until we have taken into account all of our options. I would like to point out that the total dividend in payback in 2018 amounted to over 2 billion shekels, which reflects an effective dividend payout ratio of approximately 60% for 2018. Moving on to slide 15. As you all know, last week we announced the closing of the sale of Lomicard. We can see from this slide that the total effect of Lomicard on Leumi's results in 2018 was less than 5%. Moreover, in 2019, the profit from selling Lomicard is expected to be higher than Lomicard's impact on Leumi's results. In addition, this impact will be offset gradually by the improvement in the conditions of the operating agreement with Lomicard Visa and Issacard, by the yield from the use of the sales proceeds, and by the potential distribution of some of the excess capital from the sale. Moving on to my closing remarks. Once again, consistently, we have succeeded in increasing our income, decreasing our expenses, and as a result, further improving our cost-income ratio. We have continued to increase our credit portfolio selectively by focusing primarily on lower risk sectors. We have continued to lead the digital transformation in Israel and supply our customers with innovative vehicles and solutions such as Pepper, digital mortgages, Videa, and others, and to prepare the bank for an ever-changing environment. The strong results, alongside the robust capital adequacy, enabled us to update our dividend policy up to 50% and to carry out in 2018 an effective dividend distribution, including the buyback plan of 60%. With regard to Q1, until now the CPI dropped by 0.4%. However, until now the financial markets have been doing well. In addition, we expect a positive influence from the increase in the Bank of Israel interest rate to 0.25%. And we are also going to record in Q1 the profit from the sale of Lomical. I will now turn the call over back to Rakefet.
Thank you, Omer. I believe you could all sense our pride regarding our strong performance, our strong capital adequacy, and our continuous recognition as the leader in digital banking. However, we are well aware of the turbulence facing the banking industry. We have not hesitated to transform ourselves both in upgrading our value propositions and in reorganizing our operational and organizational platforms. Facing our various customer segments, from millennials to large corporations, we are making sure our value proposition stays ahead of the game. In 2019, we are launching several significant initiatives aimed at strengthening this value proposition. Let's name a few. Customer experience, which is the key to our strength and competitive position. We decided to boost our service, and now we are the only bank in Israel servicing our customers at any Lumi branch, regardless of where they run their accounts. And in addition, we have improved our responsiveness in all channels. Second relates to data. Data is the new oil. Understanding, controlling, and fully utilizing our data will add real value to our customers. We reported this morning that we are creating a new division to focus on enhancing our data-driven banking offering. And of course, our growth engines, Pepper and Lumitech. Pepper continues to lead our value proposition for millennials, and it is getting some very impressive traction and customer feedback. In 2019, it will continue to grow, both in number of customers and in its value proposition. Lumitech has expanded its operations, and today it is also servicing US-based non-Israeli-related high-tech customers. Regarding our infrastructure, we created a new operations division. Centralizing our operational activities will not only make everything simpler, smarter, and less risky, but it will also be a key enabler in realizing efficiency potential in the coming years. As you have seen, over the years, we at Lumi continue to lead the pack by being the first to understand the external changes and the first to act upon them. This has resulted in our leading strategic position. It was true when we were the first to tighten our credit risk management more than a decade ago. It was true when we swiftly finalized with the American authorities and worked fiercely to reduce our compliance risk. It was true when we were the first to launch a unique value proposition for the booming Israeli high-tech sector. It was also the case when we were the first to differentiate ourselves based on our digital proposition back in 2008 and then again when we launched Pepper. And now, the first in the banking system in Israel to fully implement the Strum reform by selling Lumicard to a strong buyer at a good price, the first to bring strategic partners into our U.S. operation, and the first to establish a centralized operations division and a data-driven banking division. Leumi of today is a bank with great fundamentals: returns, capital adequacy, risk management, credit portfolio, and others. Moreover, we are also very well prepared to face the opportunities and challenges that the future holds. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Micha Goldberg of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on what looked to be a strong year, I think, and maybe a set of strong years overall. And I'm just wondering, I mean, you guys have done a great job, I think, in improving profitability, and it looks like you're somewhere near of 9.5% now. And I was just wondering, when you look to the future, taking into account all the different issues that you mentioned, do you see additional improvement coming through? If so, where do you think, what would those drivers be, and how far do you think the return equity can expand to?
Micha, you're asking generally regarding to the ROE, or you're getting special expenses or income? What do you relate to?
I was referring to the bottom line, of course.
Bottom line.
But,
okay.
I
think that the two divisions that we actually established in 2019, the operational division and data division, both are growth engines for the bottom line, because the operational division is a great engine or driver for efficiencies, and the data-driven banking is one of our engines for income increase. And besides that, everybody already knows, but we can mention it again. We have Pepper that is a very significant engine to grow our retail, number of retail customers, and Lumitech, which is a growth engine for our middle market customers. So actually, as Omer mentioned, and as you know from our financials in the last couple of years, we are working both on the side of the revenues and the side of the cost.
So you actually think that with the return equity can expand further than the current 9.5%?
I can tell you, first of all, we don't give forecasts, you know that. So you mean we have the right, we are doing the right steps for the next efficiencies and the next revenue increase. Yes, absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you for that. Could you elaborate slightly on the plans that you have on your U.S. Subsidiary, Blusa? It was rumored in the market that you would consider taking the bank public in order to try to expand non-organically. Is that something that's on the slate? Is that something that's being considered? And if so, could you tell us what would, in theory, fit that kind of growth pattern?
So regarding Blusa, in 2018, we had two very significant groups investing in Blusa and became our strategic partner. At that stage, the only thing that we decided is to increase our activity with the new partner, but we are considering all the options. Part of them you mentioned, but there is no decision that has been made yet.
Okay, thank you. Another question is about cost and efficiency. I think there is a new wage agreement being negotiated or is in the plan to be negotiated. What should we expect, or where do you think things should be developing to? And will this include also additional efficiency measures or early retirement schemes coming through?
Okay, so we haven't finalized anything with them at this point, so there is nothing to declare, otherwise we would say it, but I would say that efficiency measures will be taken in 2019, in 2020, 2021. This is just part of our life now, and it is It has nothing to do with the labor agreement. This is two different issues. I can tell you that in 2019 we will finalize an agreement. I don't know at this point when it's going to happen. And also, I'm sure that we will continue our efficiency measures as we did in the last couple of years.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. A final question, maybe more a general and economic question. The global markets seem to be slowing down. Economies seem to be dipping into closer territory of slowdown, and we're right up for an election. I was just wondering, is your perception, what could the impact of a change in government mean for the banking sector and economy in general? Is this something that we should be worried about? Is something that should, could help? How do you see the impact of a potential change on the government and the economy against the background of the slowdown in global economy? Thank you very much.
Hi, Micha. Gil Bufman here. I'll take the question. First of all, when talking about the Israeli economy in the context of political developments, it is perhaps good to state from the get-go that the Israeli economy is very strong, and I think is much stronger than the political environment. It has a lot of strength in the business sector, specifically in high-tech services and other areas as well. So I don't think that the changes or the possible changes in the government, that is really some sort of a substantial threat to the ongoing viability of the Israeli economy. There might be some areas that do see some attention by the new government, for example, things that have to do with the government's budget, which has risen or it has been rising, and maybe there we'll see some taxation coming in. Maybe if it does, then it might have some impact on the CPI outlook going to the higher side this year rather than the lower side. So it might impact in that area. But as you noted at the beginning of your question, I believe that the more fundamental question at the moment is where is the global economy going? Because if the global economy continues to slow down, obviously it is going to have some impact on Israel, mainly through the export channel. So of the two possibilities that you've brought up, the global story and the political story, I think that the global story is probably the more serious one to keep an eye on, looking ahead and trying to gauge how that is going to affect the Israeli economy going ahead. All in all, taking into account the slowdown in growth, we still have a pretty solid growth number for this year for Israel, about 3% growth, which is quite nice. And in 2020, we have an additional acceleration, despite our view that the world is going to continue to slow down. And that comes mainly from the ongoing progress towards the development of Leviathan and Karish and other gas sites, and also the ongoing growth in Intel's activities here in Israel. I hope that covered it.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you all for a great quarter and great year. Have a great one.
Thank you, Micha.
The next question is from Michael Klar of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first question is about the creation of the new credit bureau, which I suppose goes in hand with the sale of your credit card business. I just wanted to get an understanding or a feel of your views on, what these spin-offs are going to do to together with the creation of the credit bureau. What do you see happening in the consumer credit market, and more than that, how are you positioning your consumer product to deal with that? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Michael. Actually, I think that both issues will raise competition, and we will see more competitors and more competition in the consumer credit market. For Leumi, as you can see in the financials and as you heard us before, we are very conservative in consumer credit in the last 2 years. We think that the risk, the environment is more risky, and we are more cautious around this. And therefore, I believe regarding consumer credit, we will probably see the same trends like we saw in the last 2 years in Lumi, also in 2019.
Okay. And do you think it will put pressure on spreads? Or I mean, how do you think that the new, you know, the new owners of these assets are going to position their businesses in terms of financing themselves, in terms of competing? You know, does this put pressure on spreads? Does it take spreads? You know,
could be. It's very difficult to tell, but usually competition and pressure on go good together.
Okay, thanks. And my second question is on the provisioning, and in particular the group provisioning. Can you you know, that picked up in 2018. Can you give us some help or explain what the what drives the group provisioning line? What are the different drivers of that item?
Actually, in the provisions of the group in 2018, what you can see, we have Lumi card, that is one of the reasons why the numbers are higher. This is not relevant for now onwards because we sold it already. And then we have one specific item with the Lumi USA that made the provisions of the group higher, this specific
And we're talking about the collective provisions, are you? Not the individual. We're talking about the collective line.
The collective, you're talking about the bank or the group?
No. When I say group provisions, I'm talking about the provisions are broken out into provisions against individual borrowers and a group provision that you must provide.
The group, not the Lumi group.
Not Lumi group.
Oh, I understand.
Collective.
Yeah.
Collective provisions. The collective number picked up. Or has increased in 2018, or in Q4 at least. So just an understanding of what might be driving that.
Hi, Michael. As Raquel mentioned, also in the group provision, not only in the individual provision.
Okay.
The main increase in 2018 coming from Lumica, which we sold already. And from Brota. With regard to the bank, the overall provision was only 0.12% for the total of the year. And we think we should analyze it on a yearly basis and not on a quarterly basis. There are movements between the group provision and the individual provision. So it's better to look on most of them together, not to divide it and analyze them by one by one. As Rakepet mentioned, I would like also to add that we see an increase in the risk in individual retail, in retail and in small business, and this is the least part of the increase in the group division. In the group provision.
Okay, and if I think forward to 2019, those, we should expect to, you know, assuming that rate, you know, that rates are remain at 25 basis points, or perhaps a bit higher. Does that result in a market increase in the level of provisioning, or a small step?
I believe that the current credit loss expenses ratio, which is without Lumica 0.15%, is relatively low with regard to the fact that the collections are going to be less and less than in the previous year.
Yeah.
So it means that it may be that the credit loss expense ratio may go up a little bit in 2019.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Most of my questions have been asked already. I guess one was on Pepper. Rakefet, you talked about, you know, a strong year for Pepper, that you guys are seeing good traction. So I guess I'm wondering, I understand the aspect that the standalone bank and then developed on a brand new system that over time you can use at Leumi itself, but is it too soon to talk about revenue contribution yet for the group, and are there any quantitative metrics that you can share with us at this stage?
It's too soon because we put the effort not on making more money, but just gaining market share, because the main target for Pepper for this year is to increase our market share in retail.
Okay, I understand. And I guess the last one is really on returning capital to shareholders. So the board approved the hike to 50%, and you talked about a potential additional share buyback next year. So I guess when you look at 2019, you know, factoring in both and with your excess capital, what do you think loan growth will be? Because on the one end, you have room to grow, and you have competitors that are kind of constrained by, you know, investigations. On the other end, you are very prudent when it comes to growth. So what kind of growth we would be looking at next year, would you say?
We are prudent when it comes to growth, not because of capital constraints. This is very important to put on the table. When we are conservative with growth or prudent with growth, it's just because where we believe risk is as such that we have to be more cautious. If you look at 2018, you can see that we grow our credit by 4%, but the growth was only in mortgage, middle market, and real estate. So when we look at 2019, we have targets to grow all over, but the outcome at the end of the year or at the end of every quarter will not be just according to the target, because targets are high because we have enough capital, but it will be according to the risk assessment that we will do each and every week, month, and quarter.
Understood. Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tavi.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. The next question is from Eitan Etzioni of Etzioni Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask about other expenses in the fourth quarter. I see it's up to $649 million. What's the source of that increase, please?
The fourth quarter expenses are higher every year. You can look at it in 2016, in 2017, and also in 2018. In Bank Leumi, the expenses are not spread linear over the year. Major part of the expenses are used to the fourth quarter, and it's related to lots of activities that we are doing here at the end of the year, which the fruits of it we will see later on the coming quarter. So it's not something unusual. Every year, the expenses of the fourth quarter are higher than the expenses in the former quarter.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Smriti Shakar of Winslow Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Could you just talk about your view on the monetary policy situation and options for the Central Bank of Israel, especially in the context of the marginal change in policy at the U.S. as well as, in fact, as of today morning in the ECB as well? Thank you.
Yes, hi, this is Gil Buffman once again. Thank you for your question. Regarding monetary policy, I believe here in Israel, I believe that the window for additional rate hikes is going to open just very temporarily, mainly because we do not see a lot of inflation coming in this year and next year. Our CPI forecast for this year talks about a CPI of about 1.5%, but part of that, a substantial part of that actually is expectations for tax increases. which the Bank of Israel is likely to look at as kind of a one-time adjustment in the price level and not an inflationary process. So in our forecast, we have somewhere towards the end of the first half of 2019, one additional rate hike from 25 basis points to 50 basis points. After that, just looking at inflation, the way it is expected to develop going 12 months ahead and looking at the numbers for 12 months looking backwards, I don't think that the window is going to be there. It's not going to be open in terms of having inflation well within the price stability target. So I don't see the Bank of Israel continuing to hike beyond one additional hike this year, which would bring us to 50 basis points year end. Then going a bit further into 2020, which is a pretty long forecast and therefore has to be taken with a grain of salt, I don't see inflation moving into the price stability target. One of the reasons for that is that we think that there is going to be a renewal for pressures for appreciation of the shekel. And if inflation is not going to be within the target, then it's going to be very difficult for the Bank of Israel to continue to raise rates and to normalize. Behind all of that, you now have these kind of forces coming from the world for less and less rate hikes, be it the U.S. that is probably pretty much at the end of the cycle as far as rate hikes. And we also saw the ECB earlier today coming out with a very dovish tone, both in terms of forward guidance and also the TLTRO that they came out with. So bottom line is that I think that the rate hikes for this year and next year here in Israel are quite limited.
Thank you. So in that context, could you just tell us what you think about the, you know, spreads and margins outlook for your bank in the coming 1 and 2 years? And there's a second question regarding capital, which is that, you know, your total Tier 1 equity to risk assets is 11.07 as of the end of 31st of December. And we've heard you speak in terms of being comfortable on capital. As an absolute percentage, it's, you know, it's sufficient, but it is lower than some of the European peers. I'm just trying to get a sense of what is a comfortable level, until what level of Tier 1 is comfortable in your opinion, and at what level would you think you'd be coming back to the market to raise equity?
Well, I'll start with the second question. Currently, our adequacy Tier 1 adequacy ratio is 11.1%, but if we take into account the fact that we sold already Lomikas, so it's more around 11.3%. This is the current Tier 1 adequacy ratio. As I mentioned in the presentation, our target is 10.5%, and when we implemented the first buyback plan in 2018, we announced that we will carry out the plan as long as our Tier 1 adequacy ratio will be above 10.9%. Now, taking all that into account, it means that we don't have a material constraint related to the possibility to adapt another buyback plan similar to the 2018 buyback plan. With regard to the margins, if we look at the margin in 2018 compared to 2017, as in former years, the main increase is driven by the mortgage portfolio, which there has been an increase in the margin last 2 years ago as a result of the adoption of Basel III. So what happened there is that because of the fact that the duration of mortgages is 7 to 8 years and the increase in margin started 2 years ago, every year we see an increase in margin in mortgages. And because of the fact that in Bank Leumi, the mortgages are about a third of the total credit portfolio, it leads the margin up. What will happen in the future, it depends on the competition that may arise and other things. So I cannot give you a specific guide what will be with the margin. I just can say that in the last 3 years, they have been increased, and we can see that the net interest margin in 2018 was higher than in 2017, and in the fourth quarter, the margin was even higher than in the total year. In the fourth quarter, the NIM was 2.24%, which is higher than in the total year of 2018, which means that the margin still in upward trend.
All right, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. This concludes the Leumi's Annual 2018 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.